You open the fridge. There's nothing there. So what's it gonna be? Greasy pizza? Sad drive-through burgers? Dish by Blue Apron is for nights like that. These are the pre-made meals of your dreams. At least 20 grams of protein. No artificial flavors or colors. No chopping, no cleanup, no guilt. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
4 o'clock on Friday can only mean one thing. From St. Joe to Sao Paulo to Santa Clara, he's there every step of the way, and nobody knows the Chiefs like Nate. Nate Taylor.
They will move Joe Tooney to left tackle.
Now of ESPN, join CDOT on your home for Chiefs football. 96.5, The Fan.
Welcome back into the show. My name is Carrington Harrison. Rob is off today. He'll be back on Monday. We got Nate Taylor here. He's with ESPN. Nate, it feels like a bye week, even though it's not a bye week. It just got bye week energy today. You know, that's what it's got. This has bye week energy.
Why you say that? Because this is,
I'm just saying, week
five.
Yeah, I just feel like on Friday, normally we're like turning
we're
up
pumped.
And getting ready for the game. And Monday is definitely going to be that day. It just feels like, Sunday is going to be calm. You can sit back. You can watch all the other teams play. I know it's not a bye week, but it just has a lot of bye week energy is what I think this has so far.
That is actually astutely correct by you, because I even felt that today in like the locker room, right? Again, to your point, Friday, game plan is in. We done practiced it all. We feel good about our execution. We know what we're going to do in certain situations. Today was, as we need to remind the audience, and I'm sure you have already, like, this is the Chiefs' technical Thursday on a Friday because they play Monday. And so I've said this before, like, Thursday is usually the hardest practice of the week between Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. It's the most you have to, like, kind of get done to get a real idea of the game plan. And so doing this on a Friday and, you know, like you said, you gotta sort of just wait a little longer than usual. I understand. Like, you know, it was pretty chill in the locker room today, which is not the case on most Fridays.
So there's a lot to get into. We'll kind of go back. We'll kind of go forward. There's a lot of stuff. Let's just start with this. I think this has been the number one question related to the Chiefs. Do you believe in their offense from last week? Because everything worked last week.
Right.
The offensive line was fantastic. Xavier Worthy came back, and he looked like a superhero. Like, everything that they tried on offense worked. Do you believe that they turned the corner? How much of that do you think is the Chiefs? How much of that do you think is the Ravens and a team right now that is just decimated by injuries?
Yeah. So, just to remind people, they were down, I believe, 4-5, like, 4 legitimate starters and, like, a rotational guy, Kyle Van Noy, when Sunday's game started against the Baltimore Ravens. And so you say, okay, if there was ever a time to have a get-right game on offense at home with the extra day of rest because Baltimore was coming off of Monday night, now would be the time. Guys, it was the middle of the third quarter, and Roquan Smith said, my hamstrings hurt. And Lamar Jackson said, you know what? My hamstring hurt too. You know, Nate Wiggins got an elbow injury. And I was just like, maybe we should just treat this like high school football. Hey, man, just run the clock, dog. This is over with. So I still want to say objectively that that was more having to do with the Ravens than the Chiefs offense. So I would say it's probably 60% Ravens defense being absolute just it was basically a corpse out there, man. It was Kyle Hamilton and, like, you know, what's left of maybe Marlon Humphrey and just some dudes out there. And the Chiefs did what you're supposed to do, which is go up and down the field, score on, what, 7 of your first 8 possessions. The game really was never in doubt once the second quarter started. And, hey, when a team is down, keep them down. So the Chiefs did everything they're supposed to do. So that's the 40% that I would give them in terms of success rate. This matchup coming up on Monday is really intriguing because both these teams still have something to prove at this early point in the season. And for the Chiefs, it is their offense to where you say, hey, okay, you showed professionalism in the second half against the Giants. You absolutely beat the you-know-what out of the Ravens, a team that was ready to be beaten down. And so you've got one of the more opportunistic, frisky defenses. They're going to be at home. It's going to be prime time Monday night. Big moment for the, you know, for the Jacksonville Jaguars under a new head coach. Okay, go out there and prove it one more time. Let's see 30 points on a defense that has all of its starters not only available, but collectively playing well.
I think the most positive thing from Sunday's game was it goes to show you what this offense could be.
Yes.
Like, we talked about it. This team has spent a lot of resources on their offensive line. Mm-hmm. You spent the resources for it to dominate a game the way that it did on Sunday against the Ravens. You spent a first-round pick on a wide receiver, a second-round pick on a wide receiver. You expect to be an explosive offense. You get that first-round pick at wide receiver back coming up in a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
I call Tyquan Thornton found money. This was a guy that last year when they added him, probably never spent any time talking to him, never saw him in the locker room. He was just never around.
I saw him in the locker room and yet was never convinced. Maybe I should go say what's up to Tyquan Thornton. That never crossed my mind. So, yeah, it is found money, and it's a great development and, you know, meeting the opportunity when it presented itself because, look, I thought maybe Tyquan Thornton, I think my original thought, because I think people need to understand, like, the context of this, like, Tyquan Thornton has been an amazing player this season based on circumstance, situation, and what his role was supposed to be. I thought, okay, they're taking a flyer, you know, using the practice squad as a way to, like, basically keep your rights through the offseason to see if you got something for the 2025 season. That's what the Kansas City Chiefs did through the recommendation, honestly, of Juju Smith-Schuster, who was his teammate down in New England. So, okay, New England's going to totally blow this up. They're going to get a new coach, Tyquan Thornton, second-round pick. They're going to, you know, they're turning that card in real early on. It didn't work out. Can Tyquan Thornton be better than Justin Watson? That's the goal. That was the only thing I thought, like, okay, based on where the contract is, based on where Justin Watson is as a player, he's more than likely not going to be here next season.
I don't even think the question anymore is about Justin Watson. I think the question now is he their third wide receiver behind Xavier Worthy and Rashee Rice? Like, he seems to have more juice to me than what Hollywood Brown has.
Right. Or it's a, depending on the matchup, hey, this might be a more Hollywood Brown game, quick intermediate game, you know, maybe a little bit yards after the catch, you know, some of the RPO action we've seen from him versus, hey, if we get their third best cornerback on Tyquan Thornton, send that man deep because he will win that race every single time. And if we protect Patrick, we get more chunk plays from Tyquan Thornton that can really open up the offense for Kelsey. You know, obviously, you know, it's just somewhere that, you know, from a matchup standpoint, again, especially if you get man-to-man, like, of course another defense, like, say, the Las Vegas Raiders – in a couple weeks from now, they'll be more interested as to, like, okay, how does Rashee Rice look? How do we, based on what he showed early last year, how do we, like, prepare ourselves based on the way Xavier Worthy's playing right now? Hey, we still got to worry about Travis Kelce because, like, we still don't have anybody who can, like, really guard him on our – oh, my God, why is he running past us? It's Tyquan Thornton. That's what I think you want his role to be moving forward. And, yeah, there's a chance that, like, his production can be greater than Hollywood Brown – because he has the ability to beat you deep, whereas Hollywood Brown, I think, is more of a chain mover in the middle of the field, doing everything you're supposed to do properly to get you to the red zone so that you can obviously have greater success scoring a touchdown.
Right now, we're joined by Nate Taylor of ESPN going through some of the top storylines with the Kansas City Chiefs. Can you tell me how this defense turned things around? Because this is not the same defense that got on the plane to go to Brazil.
No, it isn't.
Not even close.
It's crazy.
They didn't do anything, I thought, well against the Chargers. They didn't get pressure after the quarterback. They didn't cover on the back end of
right.
it. Like, people were ready to pull their hair out about the defense. I came into the season thinking they had a chance to be a top five unit because of how much continuity
right.
that they had with this team. This is virtually the same defense that they had
yes.
last year. So I just expected them to really hit the ground running. It took them a week. But these last weeks, 2, 3, and 4, the Chiefs have been one of the 5 best defenses in the league.
And it's awesome because the Eagles' 20 points are 10 of which are a byproduct of the offense, guys, not the defense. Like, you gave a short field because Harrison Butker misses a field goal. You go for it on 4th and 1. You give them a short field. They cash in for a field goal. We all know that Travis Kelce's drop led to the interception. That's the only turnover they had all year, but that gives you a short field because of the return. And hey, give credit to the champions. The champions cash in with their one touchdown of the second half. So honestly, on a normal playing field, they've given up honestly 10 points to the Eagles straight up. I mean, 9 points to the Giants, and perhaps the last time we see Russell Wilson as a starting quarterback. And then with the highest scoring offense in the league, they essentially held him to 13 points with Lamar Jackson on the field before the injury, before Spags and Andy Reid said, hey, let's pull some of the starters because we know we got to, we know we're going to have a quick turnaround coming after the Monday night game. So we have this in hand. Let's get some young guys some reps. Oh, man, they popped one for a long touchdown. It's not even window dressing. It's just like, I mean, those stats don't matter. I know Chris Jones said that today on the podium. He's like, I know we're supposed to care, but like, come on, coach. It was 37-13. They've done a marvelous job. So again, in all honesty, 10 points, 9 points, 13 points. I think they brought it together because Chamari Connor, and I know this sounds weird, ladies and gentlemen, but Chamari Connor is kind of the X factor for the Chiefs defense. I know Steve Spagnuolo still says, well, we can put him in the – no, stop, Steve, stop. I don't want to ever see that man in the nickel, which the Chargers took advantage of. Jaden Hicks had some communication issues, which the Chargers took advantage of. The Chiefs tackled okay, but not up to their standard, and they could not get pressure on Justin Herbert. So what we've seen is Spagnuolo tinker with the defense, put Chamari Connor back as a traditional two-deep safety with Brian Cook, who's had a great season. That allows Jaden Hicks to be that third down sort of dime defender, the additional safety. That has allowed Trent McDuffie to not just be on the outside all the time. He can now be the nickel. Noah Williams is, I mean, I thought he was, I mean, again, guys, when they drafted Noah Williams, I was like, oh, my God, they drafted a cornerback who has legitimate ball skills and knows how to, like, turn his head around. Well, he's already proven that so early on in his career. Coming off the injury from last year, Jalen Watson has stepped up and gotten better each week. And because of the pressure that's been generated, because the secondary can hold up in everybody's projected natural positions, okay, we can use Chris Jones to help the blitz. We can get Chris Jones to still cause pressure. That'll help George Karlaftis. Charles Omenihu might be coming on. He showed a little bit of some more fluidity and action to him against the Ravens. They've been a little bit more disciplined too, like especially like containing Lamar Jackson. As soon as he breaks pocket, go get him. Don't let him have a big game using his legs. They've been smart. But weirdly, everything starts with Chamari Connor. Like, he can be a good safety in this league. Do not, under any circumstance, put that man in the nickel when you have Trent McDuffie, when you have Noah Williams. Christian Fulton's coming back. He's been practicing this week. We'll see if he plays. And then you got Jalen Watson. So you have no injuries at the quarterback position, which could compromise your secondary. And hopefully throughout the course of the year, Steve's finds the right time to blitz. And when he doesn't blitz, the defensive line with Ashton Gelati, Omar Norman-Lott, Chris Jones, they can start to affect the quarterback.
Right now, we're joined in studio by Nate Taylor. Earlier this week, I placed a bet on the Ravens to miss the postseason.
Ooh.
I got him at +260. Do you think the Ravens are making the playoffs?
Oh, you might be onto something. Lamar's not playing this week, right?
He's not playing. This is my logic behind it.
Right.
We see this every year. Sometimes there is just a team that can just never figure it out. That's what San Francisco was last year. I would say last year, that's what the Bengals were. They were a team that got off to a slow start. They got hot there. But you just created so much of a deficit that you just can't overcome it.
Yes.
I feel like that's what the Ravens are. I feel like the Ravens are getting the benefit of the doubt because of what they've been and not who they are. They were favorites in this game. It never made sense to me. We talked about it last week.
Yes,
I did not understand why
sense.
They were big road favorites in Kansas City. Now looking at this game, like, they got a playoff game in week 5. If you start 1-4 with the injuries that they got and that defense,
right,
you can't tell me you're making the playoffs.
Yeah, and again, when Lamar comes back from the injury, if that's 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks, hey, bro, you got to be amazing from here on out. You got to be Joe Burrow last year, and we possibly might sneak in to where, unfortunately, the Bengals needed the Chiefs' help in week 18, and the Chiefs were like, yeah, we're resting everyone against a team that had to win to get into the postseason in the Denver Broncos. So, again, the Ravens could do everything right in the second half of the season, Kerry. And to your point, they still might be in that situation where they're watching the TV in week 18 being like, come on, guys, come on, help us out. Let us get in kind of situation. Honestly, he's too important. He's too valuable. We do this far too often. If you are right, Carrington, and let's say they lose on Sunday, he's not playing. I don't know how many of the defensive guys are coming back. He's too valuable. You cannot rush Lamar Jackson back. If that happens, if you do the right thing, the smart thing, man, hamstrings take a month. And you want to use some of that explosiveness, that dual ability to get the offense to be as potent as it can be. Like, the reason Derrick Henry can go off last season is because of the running threat of Lamar Jackson along with his incredible arm. Okay, they lose to the Texans. They most definitely losing to the Rams. Okay, he could come back, I guess, for the Bears.
We say most definitely. The Rams just lost to a team that wasn't fully healthy.
But I trust their coaching staff and their players. And honestly, they were the better team last night.
At least the Niners can get off the field. The Ravens can't even get off the field right now.
Right, right. And that's the other thing, too. Like, okay, well, who knows? Maybe Caleb Williams is, like, starting to really, like, make a turn by late October. I don't know, man. Okay, if you're doing this wisely, Lamar Jackson will come back October 30th, Thursday night, against the Miami Dolphins, who have nothing to play for. You'll be down in Miami. That is his hometown, essentially. Come on down there and get a win, and then let's see how many you can rack up after that. But he's too valuable to rush him back on a hamstring injury that could get worse, or you could aggravate it to where it's a smart bet. It's a shrewd bet, I would honestly say, because regardless of whether Lamar Jackson comes back, we have no idea if the defense is going to be halfway decent at any point this season.
Coming up in about 10 minutes or so, I want to play contender or pretender. Right now, we got Nate Taylor in studio, just taking a closer look at the Kansas City Chiefs as we are. It feels like it's a little bit of a bye week, but it's not a bye week. They play on Monday Night Football. This is my thought about the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Okay.
If the Chiefs protect the football, I just think they win this game. I feel like right now, Jacksonville is being held up by, they have forced 14 turnovers so far this season. If you force 14 turnovers in a month, you're going to finish at least 3-1. Like, right. I don't care who you play.
Right.
Because turnover differential and third down conversions are the two most important stats on if you were going to win or lose a football game. I feel like that's unsustainable. And if the Chiefs just play a clean game, and I can't think of too many times where the Chiefs were -4 in turnovers, this is the game that the Chiefs just go on the road and win. And at least for me, when it comes to Jacksonville, I think this is one of the biggest games in Jacksonville, like, as a franchise. Like, I can't think of too many times where they're 3-1. The division feels very attainable. You got the defending AFC champion coming into the crib. It's Monday night. The crowd should be there. The energy should be there.
Yes.
Like, this is a big statement game for Jacksonville if they can figure out a way to win this one.
Yeah. The Chiefs should win. The Chiefs, I think, still have the better roster. I am incredibly impressed with Liam Cohen as a first-time head coach who made the wise decision to try to jumpstart Jacksonville, even with, like, maybe a quarterback that we're still not quite sure. The one game they lost this season kind of goes to your point about how fluky and unsustainable it is for their turnover margin to be this wide. The reason they lost to the Cincinnati Bengals is because although they got three interceptions, Trevor Lawrence gave two back. Trevor Lawrence did not play well in that game. And what I find to be interesting for the Chiefs is, from a stat standpoint, Trevor Lawrence attempted 42 passes against the Cincinnati Bengals. Guys, the Cincinnati Bengals defense is not good. That's a fact. And he struggled. When you have to give him a bigger workload, a bigger burden to carry when he can't just rely on Travis Etienne, it could lead to some inconsistent play.
I also feel pretty confident that the Chiefs are taking Travis Etienne out of the game.
That is what they have demonstrated.
I've just seen them do that too many times with running backs. Like, I'm not saying they're going to hold Etienne to 27 yards from scrimmage. He ain't getting 127 yards from scrimmage.
Right.
He runs for like 45 yards and has like 20 yards receiving. And then on Tuesday, we spend the time talking about how well they did against Jacksonville's number one running back.
So if you and I both agree, and we've seen this over the course of like a year and a half now, that the Chiefs do pretty good against some of the top, even the most excellent running backs in terms of, again, controlling their margins, not giving up the big play to a running back. So, again, now it's about, can you identify the blitz? Can you identify where Chris Jones is? Is he going to get a one-on-one matchup, or is George Karloftis going to use some of that relentlessness to get that extra second because the coverage is good? I just want to see Trevor Lawrence, if he has to throw the ball over 30 times, that is not a recipe. But he hasn't had to do that in the wins because they get the turnovers, you hand the football off, you manage the game well. Obviously, this team is very, I think, really well coached in terms of what its strengths and weaknesses are. Like, the Jacksonville Jaguars seem like they know who they are. And that's a really good sign 4 weeks into the season with the rookie head coach and some capable players around them. But, man, this ain't Jake Browning. This is not a beat-up Brock Purdy when the moment the game ended, the Niners were like, yeah, we kind of made a mistake. We shouldn't have had him out there. And so because he's not healthy and we're banged up, he forces the issue. He creates turnovers. Probably should have had Mac Jones play that game. That's essentially what the 49ers said after the game.
For sure.
4 days later, they put Mac Jones in and the offense does well. The offense is functional. So it's a jump to go from beat up Brock Purdy, Jake Browning. It's unfortunate what happened with Joe Burrow. Let's not even talk about the other two quarterbacks they've seen. It's quite a jump to go that between a very locked in, confident, looks to be more and more in rhythm Patrick Mahomes, now that he has the Xavier Worthy factor to where he can sort of manipulate and see the weaknesses of the defense. For Jacksonville, they obviously need turnovers to compete in this game and to play well, but it's hard to identify where the ball is going to go when Patrick Mahomes completes a pass to 9 different teammates. And that's kind of the brilliance of what the Chiefs were in 2022. And it might be something they can replicate for the duration of this season, even with Rashee Rice returning. It doesn't have to be all on one guy. Like, Travis Kelce doesn't have to be the automatic indicator on third down. Same with Xavier Worthy. Same with Rashee Rice. Tyquan Thornton obviously is a deep threat. Who in the world is, you know, Travis Hunter going to guard? Like, who is he going to line up on? Like, are they going to try to manipulate him because he's still a rookie? Can I see just one play of Xavier Worthy and him one-on-one? That's all I want, guys. All I want. Yeah, I think this is a big moment for Jacksonville, but they have to prove it because the Chiefs are a professional football team that is starting to find its identity, and that's what makes this matchup so intriguing.
I don't want to overreact to the slow start from Travis Hunter in his career, but it seems like if you're going to make the decision that Jacksonville made to go and get him with the number 2 overall pick, it seems like you would have a much more defined plan on how you're going to use him. They're not really using him like he's either. They're not using him like he's a wide receiver. They're also not using him like he's a corner. Like, maybe this, you can play both sides of the ball. Either let him do what he did in college or 100% force him to make a decision on how you're going to use him. But it seems like right now, like, they're having him be below average at two separate things instead of really either, again, leaning into who he is or just picking, hey, you're a wide receiver or you're our number one corner and we're going to only focus on that.
Yeah. I think for their team this year, he should probably focus more on being a cornerback. That's where he could probably have their biggest impact just because of his capabilities to help bring a tighter collection to the defense. It's a little bit harder on offense because you got to share the ball. Timing with your quarterback matters, man. Like, you can't be half in, half out. That's why, and I know Andy Reid mentioned this yesterday, that's why it's so impressive what Troy Brown did during the early portion of the Patriots dynasty, that he was a receiver who just happened to, like, go into the DB room and be like, okay, because I'm a receiver, I kind of know where to be in the nickel, right? I can kind of help us out because we're maybe a man down based on injuries. And you know, if this is the brilliance of, you know, Bill Belichick, hey, if Bill Belichick just wants to give us another guy to use to demonstrate for the secondary, then that's okay. He can do that on a handful of snaps. But his timing with Tom Brady, oh, that ain't dumb. No. We're not going backwards with that. We gonna practice that. You know, you can come over here maybe for some scout team stuff, yada, yada, yada. But your main job is to have a connection, to be on time, to understand where the quarterback wants you on certain down and distances based on the play, based on the situation. I just said that out loud. It's really hard to do, guys. So for Travis Hunter, kind of like that Deion Sanders archetype, dude, you are so gifted as a defender. He ain't even good yet, Carrington. And that's an easier position to, I think, help the team. If you're about a team sport and being a team player, the easiest way for him to have success is on defense and occasionally be a gadget. You know, we can, hey, here are the packages of plays we can give you on offense. And over the course of the year, you'll develop timing, you'll develop chemistry with Trevor Lawrence. But doing that week to week and trying to be on defense, I love that he's doing it. I love that Liam Cohen's like, we ain't got no expectations anyway. Go out there and play, son. We gonna try it your first year, you know, but once the money starts to get involved, once the contract sort of situations, how you project someone on a rookie contract of that magnitude, he's a really good cornerback, guys. He could be great. He could be truly great at cornerback to where I'm not sure he could be truly, truly great at receiver because they got Brian Thomas Jr. And there's only so many passing attempts that he can get within the offense right now, let alone having the trust of the quarterback when all we hear about is quarterbacks and receivers playing pitch and catch for 8 months. And then, oh, and now the season started. And it's like, oh, okay, well, you guys have been doing this. Yes, it's March. We can come around, throw a little pitch and catch, talk things, go through the situations, you know, have this whole ramp up. Well, he didn't have that. He was drafted in late April. So he's trying to do virtually the impossible, but I would love to see him focus much of his time on defense. And then kind of like Deion Sanders, hey, don't y'all forget, I'm still very good with the ball in my hands in open space.
Right now, we're joined in studio by Nate Taylor of ESPN. Coming up on the other side, we're going to play Contender or Pretender. We are 1 month in to the NFL season. Who do you like? Who do you dislike? Keep it right here. It's The Drive on 96.5 The Fan.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and sugar-free. First-round picks like watermelon, wild berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Hey, it's Chris Jones from the Kansas City Chiefs. Welcome back to The Drive with CDOT on your home for Chiefs football. 96.5 The Fan.
All right, we got Nate Taylor of ESPN here. All right, Nate, I'm going to go through some of the teams in the National Football League and just get your opinion on if you think they are contenders or pretenders. Let's start with the AFC, the Pittsburgh Steelers. What category would you put them in? Are they contenders or pretenders?
Perfect. This is the team that I am most flip-floppy on. Great job by you, sir.
That's where I am with Seattle in the NFC.
Interesting. Okay. Pretenders, man. I don't know, dog. He's 42. But did you see DK? Ooh, DK Metcalf is great. He's so good. I'll say pretenders. You know, I know the stat that Mike Tomlin hasn't won a playoff game in a long, long time. It's a nice season for Aaron Rodgers so far. Stay healthy. Stay healthy, my guy. He stays healthy. They got a real chance of maybe winning a playoff game this year. But for now, I'm going to say pretenders. We still got the Chiefs, the Bills. We'll see what happens with the Chargers. Of course, I have more confidence in the Chargers than I do the Steelers at the moment. I've flip-flopped, but I also know, too, that they beat the Jets, the Carson Wentz-led Vikings, and who was the other team they beat? I'm trying to think the other day. I can look this up. But, I mean, it's nice to be 3-1, but their 3-1 is not as impressive as others.
The Indianapolis Colts.
Come on now. Come on.
I need a
full sample size of this, Daniel Jones. A full sample size.
I think I know exactly what the Colts are. This is what the Colts are. They're going to win 10 games. They're going to end up playing either the Chiefs or the Chargers in that 4-5 matchup. Yep. And they're going to lose in the first round of the playoffs.
It's going to be
Don't we know exactly what they're going to be? Like, we all know what the Colts are. They're going to go 10-7 in a weak division. No one's going to trust them.
Yep.
They're going to be home underdogs to the team that finishes second in the AFC West. Like, we already know what the Colts are.
And it's going to be played on a Saturday for Super Wild Card Weekend.
You say a Saturday. They're going to play in the first playoff game.
The early slate.
They're going to play in that 2:30 ESPN game.
Yeah, that's what I have to say. And my employer will gladly take Daniel Jones.
Or you know what? They have two options. They either have their early ESPN game or they have the one that goes on a Nickelodeon. They have one of the two.
That's like the middle Sunday, if my memory is correct. That middle Sunday.
I'm telling you right now, Daniel Jones is going to be playing right next to SpongeBob SquarePants. Like, we already know that. You and I both know that's how
again,
this goes for them.
I need some comical turnovers for the animation. I mean it's cool to see Jonathan Taylor not have any nothing crazy going on with his contract. We all understand what happened with Jim Irsay. So look, great start for the Colts. Didn't see this coming. Their point differential is impressive. They got a 40-point differential. So hey, keep beating up on the Tennessee Titans, the Houston Texans, and see if you can get a split against Jacksonville, and that might be enough to win the division. But no, I can't say they're contenders. I would have to, again, I would have to see a full season of Daniel Jones sort of revitalizing his career.
Are you in or out on the Broncos? And not even as a team that you think can win the
Super Bowl.
Like, but what they were last year, a double-digit win team that makes the postseason.
I'm not out. because I want to trust the defense. I want to trust Nick Bonito. I want to trust Patrick Surtain, who was awesome on Monday night. I want to trust the defense. But that quarterback makes it really hard, man. Really hard. I don't understand people's love for Bo Nix. He is the definition, Carrington, of he. I mean, he's not going to lose us the game, but he's certainly probably not going to help us win the game.
That's how I feel about Trevor Lawrence.
He all right. I mean, Cortland Sutton is a really good receiver, but how can I evaluate this man when I don't know where the ball's going half the time?
The Broncos have all of the things to be good on offense.
Yes.
Like, if you look at their wide receiver room, their running backs, their tight end, like, the Broncos have the things to be a good offense in the league, but for whatever reason, they just haven't put it together yet this season with Bo Nix.
The other reason why I will give them the benefit of the doubt is they did get a lot of experience last year as a team. So just a 2-2 start, that's okay. They don't need to panic. They got a pretty favorable schedule. We know they made the playoff last year. And if I trust that Sean Payton knows what to do, okay, at the midway point of the season, who knows? You know, their bye week is a little bit tricky. It's towards the end of the season. They get the Chiefs at home on November 16th before their bye week. Okay, not sure how that game's going to go for the Denver Broncos, but coming out of the bye week, having a real shot of making the playoffs, hey, you got 6 games left. Let's see real incremental progress from Bo Nix, because I trust that Sean Payton will say, hey, here's how you go from year one. Obviously, there's going to be adjustments in year two. Here's how you get over those adjustments. Here's how you improve. Here's how you get a little bit better along the way. I'm gonna put my faith in Sean Payton because they still have a legitimate shot to make the postseason. But the quarterback play is what's probably holding them back the most.
Let's move to the NFC. Do you feel lied to by the Green Bay Packers? Because I feel lied to.
No, I don't feel lied to.
They lost to the Browns and tied the Cowboys in back-to-back weeks. And you're going to tell me they're Bowl contending team?
I'm good.
I'm
good.
I've been lied to.
No.
I've been hoodwinked. I've been had.
Now, in terms of getting high on your own supply of praise and adulation, boy.
After two weeks,
they were high on it.
They were talking about being undefeated at 2-0. I'm sitting there like, Romeo Doubs, you haven't been part of any winning.
But again, the roster's really talented. And you know, they're gonna be pushed by Detroit, so that'll be good for them. I'm not spooked, okay? The Browns get 2 teams every year, and it don't make sense every single time. Now, some of it was fun last year because they had Jameis Winston, and we all got a kick out of that. But, man, he got caught by Joe Flacco. They were sleepwalking through that game, man. There was so much hype around the Cowboys. I actually thought that game was a good indicator for the Cowboys that, hey, if you guys, like, actually cared and focused and were diligent each week, you might have a chance to compete. Instead, your owner is a cuckoo person who traded away your best defender. I'm sorry, guys. You can get up for games here and there when they are of importance, when they are on national TV. You get the spotlight. That was a great game. I don't know why overtime got to be only 10 minutes when the other quarters are 15. But anyway, I'm not worried about the Packers. I think the Packers have a very good team. I know Matt LaFleur, he got a little galaxy brain there over time. But I like the roster. I think Jordan Love's going to be good. They seem a team primed to make a real postseason run. So I'm going to put my faith in the Packers.
Tampa Bay.
Why do you do this?
Tampa Bay is right there on the fringe.
Why do this?
I came up with this. Because you could tell me either one and I believe you. Like, if you told me right now you think Tampa's the third best team in the NFC behind the Eagles and the Lions, I could absolutely go with that.
Yeah, it's not a far-fetched. I mean, they had a chance to, like, come back in that game, even though Baker Mayfield made some mistakes. And I mean, their defense, I think I want to say yes, because they, similar to, like, the Chiefs from a couple years ago, they went really all in on some young defensive players, and those guys have started to show that they are capable. So with Todd Bowles, a good defense that's only going to get better because you're playing youthful guys who are going to gain a lot of experience. I think the quarterback injected so much life into them because Baker Mayfield has proven that, hey, if you get it to the fourth quarter, hey, our quarterback can go get it now. He can go win us the game if it's close. I will say yes, because I think they're winning that division. So based on winning the division, getting a home playoff game, not being your first time around, a young defense can get better. I'm talking myself into this, as you can see. But yeah, I mean, you know, hey, you lost to the champs. It's all good. It's not great that it took 60 minutes to beat the Jets, but I'm not worried about that right now.
Right now, we're joined in studio by Nate Taylor of ESPN. Coming up on the other side, I have to ask you a question that we posed to the text line earlier today. I'll ask you next. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
You open the fridge. There's nothing there. So what's it going to be? Greasy pizza? Sad drive-thru burgers? Dish by Blue Apron is for nights like that. These are the pre-made meals of your dreams. At least 20 grams of protein, no artificial flavors or colors, no chopping, no cleanup, no guilt. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and sugar-free. First-round picks like watermelon, wild berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce canned flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Hey, it's Rashi Rice from the Kansas City Chiefs. Welcome back to The Drive with C-Dot on your home for Chiefs football, 96.5 The Fan.
All right, welcome back into the show. My name is Carrington Harrison. Happy to be here with you. Nate, we'll get back to very serious football things, but we were talking about this earlier.
Mm-hmm.
I don't judge somebody for being a Swiftie. She is the most popular musician in the world. Uh-huh. So if you're somebody that likes to listen to Anti-Hero in your free time, that's cool. I know it doesn't bother me.
Yeah.
I think that we all have something like that.
Sure.
I was saying earlier, I've seen the movie Mean Girls at least 15 times. Yeah. I love Avril Lavigne. I was listening to...
That's not a sentence I thought you were going to say.
I'm telling you. We all have these things Avril right in our Lavigne. Life. We do. But there are some things that if you're a man, I will judge you for.
Okay.
These are some of the things. We've all been at a tailgate before, standing around as a bunch of guys. All of a sudden, there's a football being thrown. The football gets thrown to me. I tell you to go long. I throw it to you. You catch it. And then you can't throw the ball back to me? I'm judging you for that. I'm sorry. That's one of the things you gotta be able to throw a spiral. I'm sorry. You gotta be able to throw a spiral.
In America? Now, if you're someone from a foreign country, okay, y'all don't really be out here throwing balls, okay? That's why soccer is so important, kids. But, like, if you're from America...
Yeah, you have to have learned at some point you gotta, how to throw a football.
Don't give me no option pitch either.
Yeah, like, you got to be able to throw the ball. I judge you if you can't throw the ball. The other thing is, if I ask you, who was your favorite wrestler as a kid, and you don't have an answer for who your favorite wrestler is,
I'm judging you. Because it is impossible that you had you didn't have a great childhood if you didn't have a favorite wrestler. It's impossible. Because you remember, Nate.
Right.
Whenever you would go to school on that Tuesday after Monday Night Raw, had to know what was going on. You could not know what was going on. You were sitting around on the playground. You couldn't participate in the conversation. You didn't get the full value of everything that childhood had to provide.
Right.
So I loved Bret Hart as a kid.
Ooh, that's a nice one.
I loved Bret Hart.
There was that, but there was something. I mean, I had the action figure. I mean, the whole crew in the neighborhood had the action figures. We had the video games. We was all about it. So I love this. I mean, there's just something infectious about The Rock. Because I understand the appeal of Stone Cold Steve Austin. I actually thought, that's a pretty cool dude, you know, even though not really for me. I get it. But The Rock was just, what a time. And then I think the video game also made him larger than life, too. I can't remember which one it was. It was one of the early ones.
I will say this about Stone Cold, though. There was something special about just regular wrestling when we happened. Then you would hear that glass break. Like, oh, whoa! My goodness! It would blow your mind every time. Like, you knew he coming down to wreak havoc on everybody in the ring.
It'd be like, okay, this is a match. We got to watch something this early on. Why is he involved? It's kind of one of those things.
He would come down. Yes. Then he would just come with that little special walk. I'm telling you, there was something great about it.
And that's when wrestling really took off, because the production value got so much better. And they were they're a little bit more thoughtful about things. And, yeah, man, I just there's just nothing better. I mean, I shouldn't say nothing better, but there, as a kid, going up and seeing this man go up to Jim McMahon and, like, you know, he's talking, you know, he got the mic, you know, something about to go real bad for him. And you're like,
he just kicks him in the stomach.
They just did it. They did it again. And for some reason, I have been entertained yet again.
Time. Did you have like an obscure wrestler? Because like one for me that I really used to love was Razor Ramon.
Oh, I don't think he's obscure. I just think he's.
I feel like he didn't really get well known until like the next phase of his. Like they had to find like a new gimmick for him. But I love like Razor Ramon.
It's incredible that like he was really. I don't know. He was kind of popular in my neighborhood. Trying to think who, like, obviously, I mean, the first wrestler that I knew that was like legendary was really Ric Flair. It was not Hulk Hogan. I think Hulk Hogan was like he almost got too big. But I remember Ric Flair being like a big like archetype of like, well, is he kind of like Ric Flair? If not, I don't really roll with him. Shawn Michaels was cool back in the day too.
I hated Shawn Michaels.
You hated him
because I like Bret Hart. Wow. I couldn't like Bret Hart and Shawn Michaels.
I know, so I hated Shawn Michaels. But you said that like instantly.
Yeah, I hated him. I mean, I like him now, but when you were a kid and you like decided what side you were on,
right.
You couldn't like both of them. Someone said The Undertaker was that same way.
Oh,
because the match would be regular, and all of a sudden you would just hear that. You would hear that sound and be dark.
You're like, oh my goodness! Oh no, someone's gonna die out here.
It's gonna be good.
The best. Man, this is great. This is uplifted my day because. The thing that I don't know if people quite understood at the time was like, okay, this is really cool. It's getting popular. It's becoming very much a part of pop culture. They have expanded this brand. Incredible. They done changed the name because, you know, it was a little tricky at the time, kids. Man, like, there's just something about that time that makes you think instantly, I either liked him or I disliked him. It's the same way like athletes to some degree. Like if people say, do you like Yannick Sinner? My answer is no, because I love Carlos Alcaraz. It is very true. You got to pick one. But The Undertaker kind of like superseded everybody. If I thought The Rock was like, if I thought The Rock was infectious, I thought The Undertaker kind of like ascended to like legendary status. And he didn't talk.
You are right. That there's like,
he didn't talk.
There are like a handful of wrestlers that like every like, if I told you, like, you watch wrestling during that time, like, ooh, I used to hate Mankind. You're weird.
Well, yeah, you're like
Mankind.
Whoa.
Like, I did not like Mankind. Like, he never bothered anybody. That never makes any sense. All right, I'll get you out of here with this last thing. I have one football question to ask you. We have asked all of our guests this. You're the perfect person to be the last person to ask this to. Give us two things about the Chiefs that are better than you had thought they were going to be in the first month of the season. Give us two things that are worse than you thought they were going to be.
The first, I think, is Tyquan Thornton, because he has given them stability that I did not – how could I have predicted that? I think the other thing, too, is they are better at fourth down plays than is honestly realistic. You want to talk about stats that are, like, kind of absurd? Guys, they have gone on fourth down 10 times. They've converted 9 times. That's how amazing Patrick is, but also the scheme to some degree. And the guy's just kind of meeting the moment. That's why that one fourth down play against Philadelphia gets like what were they thinking? Two things that I think that they are worse at than I anticipated. They are not getting the production out of the tight end group that I thought they would outside of Travis Kelce. Where in the world is Noah Gray?
I was wondering this too. Like everybody was saying that all he does is block. And I'm like,
by the way, he's not been a good blocker this year.
But like last year, it felt like it was trending like, okay, maybe not a complete passing of the torch,
yes.
But like a 70-30.
Yes.
That's not what it is right now.
No.
And you know what really stood out to me about Noah Gray? I don't know if you remember this play or not. I think it was in the third quarter. They gave it to Noah Gray. It was like third and two. It's one-on-one against
bunch
you
of
and
space.
A linebacker.
Bunch of space.
And I'm like, you got to run past yes. this guy, run over this guy. Yes. He then tackles you by your ankle and you don't get to the first down marker. That's when I started realizing something's up right yeah. now. I don't know what it is, but something's suspicious.
And think about how well Robert Tonyan played in the preseason that I was like, okay, they got a real three tight end mix right now.
I heard that name
in a
month of Sundays.
I mean, can we get him on the field a little bit more, especially in the running game?
Is he still
game?
On the team?
Hey, I've seen him every day in the locker room, and I sometimes want to ask him, hey, bro, what happened? Like, why they ain't playing you anymore when you did so well in
the
preseason?
I guess he over there with Elijah Mitchell. That's where he over there hanging out with him. They got to have that locker over off in the corner.
I see Elijah Mitchell, and I just
he
go.
He might just look sad the whole time.
I look sad for him. When I see him, I'm like, what's up, Elijah? That's literally what I did today. I was like, what's up, man? What's up? The second thing that
you know, when he started hitting you with like Instagram caption, man, I'm just trying to keep my spirit up. Okay. All right, man. All right. Why are you talking like this to me? Hey, man, I'm just taking it one day at a time.
One day at a time, huh?
Yeah. Ask you a question.
The other thing, too, is like, I thought Charles Omenihue and Mike Dana would be better, like legitimate, reliable veteran guys. You know, it's unfortunate Mike Dana got hurt, so he kind of gets a little bit of an incomplete grade right now. But again, I thought Charles Omenihue started to make good progress against Baltimore. But man, those two guys got to be part of the solution with the pass rush, because Chris Jones can't go through what he went through last year where it was just him, a little bit of George Karloftis, and like, please, somebody make an effort play. So I would say if they can get more play out of Mike Dana and Charles Omenihue, then hey, you get back to like normal NFL defensive line play, not having to rely on blitzes a ton. But those two guys I thought looked pretty good in training camp, preseason, whatever, you know, what little snaps they got. But it has not translated so far this season.
That is our guy, Nate Taylor of ESPN, joining us on the show today. I know you are happy about this. After you fly to Jacksonville and when you come back, you will not have to make another flight in October. You will be, they have three straight home games.
I know
you're fired up about that.
Fired up. Hey, we about to go to all the pumpkin patches.
That is our guy, Nate Taylor, joining us on the show. Coming up, we're going to continue our trip around the AFC West. Keep it right here. It's The Drive on 96.5 The Fan.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce canned flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. you'll see Progressive's direct rate. Then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy. Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.